is the Mike Salk Show, serviced by Jaffco Plumbing and Sewer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Are you ready?
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Are you ready for a good team?
I will play you the best minute of audio you will hear today, I promise. You'll like it. It'll motivate you. We spoke a lot about leadership today, and this definitely speaks to what you can do as a leader of human beings. It's pretty cool. So we'll get to that in a moment. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN, Seattle. Just to follow up on the Adam Schefter thing, I was saying that I don't think it's... I can't get myself worked up over Adam Schefter's journalism ethics. Not in an investigation into how the Washington football team was treating its employees. Not with the accusations there. I get that John Gruden comes out of it, and that's fine. I mean, like, you've unearthed something where I now feel totally differently about John Gruden than I did a week ago, right? That's important information. I don't need to know whether Adam Schefter is using the best journalism ethics. He's not covering the White House. He's not covering a war. He's not covering the Pentagon or something that truly... He's covering the NFL, and I'm not sure... And his job is as an information broker. He breaks trades and free agent signings. I don't need Adam Schefter to do deep dive investigative journalism. So I do like this text here. Hold on one sec. There's a good text here that says it does matter. Adam's a reputable source, so his words carry more weight. Okay. And the other one says maybe Adam knows about what happened inside the Washington football team organization and just isn't saying anything because he and Mr. Editor are buddy-buddy. That's a fair point also. I guess I just don't look to Adam Schefter to break stories like that.
No, I agree with you. I was just going to say it helps to give a little context to what the Adam Schefter thing was for anybody who doesn't know.
All it was is
he offered a story to Alan to say, hey, let me know if you want anything added, changed, or tweaked.
Right. Which is bad. You shouldn't do that.
You don't do that.
You don't do that. It's not done.
But you're right. It is the smallest issue in this investigation.
It feels unnecessarily petty mean and petty.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't like Adam Schefter, so I'm going to make him look bad. It would be as if, like, there was somebody like him and his editor started leaking the original versions of the stories he wrote before they'd been cleaned up. See,
exactly.
This guy can't really write. Like,
right.
Okay, like, great. Congratulations. You've taken down Adam Schefter. Like, I just, that doesn't feel like the job.
And I'm sure you saw this already, but 3 hours ago, did you see the announcement the Washington football team made?
No. Oh, that they're going to retire the number of
Sean Taylor. 3 days before the game. It's like, oh, hey, we just came up with an idea.
That's ridiculous. I mean, it's just the whole organization is an embarrassment.
Clown
but
show.
Yeah, let's focus on whether Adam Schefter is living up to the high journalism ethics standards that he should. I don't buy that. I loved this piece of audio. Let me play it for you. This is Brandon Staley. Second time we've played the Chargers head coach in a week. Crazy. Last week, you may remember, we were playing him and the way he defined the running game and its importance, basically saying everything Pete Carroll says, but saying it in his 20s or 30s instead of in his 70s, and so everybody liked it instead of being mad about it. But here he is when asked about the John Gruden situation. His comments are tremendous.
You know, I think that respect and trust in this world are really, really difficult to achieve, and I think about all the people that were affected by those emails. Whether you're a person of color, whether you're a person, a gender, your sexual orientation, the people that were affected by those emails, that's who I'm thinking about, you know, because it's a sacred mantle for someone to call you coach or someone to call you a leader. Trust is really, really hard to achieve in this world. It's really, really challenging to achieve, and especially with people with those groups that I just mentioned.
He's absolutely right about trust, and nothing makes things work better than when you have it. It is so important. There's a book and a whole organizational like theory called The Speed of Trust. And the whole idea of it, and we've done some of it in our building here. When I was in management, we tried to go through it. I mean, the whole idea is that an organization can't start really functioning well until you have trust. That makes everything go faster because you don't have to worry about somebody else's intentions. You know this in your own life. I certainly know it in mine. You know it in sports and you know it in your business life. Justin, you and I were just talking about it the other day, right? As you and I work together and get to know each other better and figure out the details of who talks when and what we do and how we handle specific situations, it gets easier as you learn to trust each other because you feel like the other person has your best interest in mind and you can be honest with each other.
It's the foundation of every relationship every long relationship
yes.
has to have it. There is no, and once it is cracked and damaged, if it was built on the right reasons to begin with, yes, it can be repaired. But if it wasn't, it's just a facade and it's gone.
When Brock and I finally got our show working well after the first year or so of it being a disaster, it was because we started to trust each other. If I throw you the ball, it's not going to be in a black hole. It's going to come back out to me, right? That's what trust is. Yep. You know it on a basketball team. I'm the point guard. You're the power forward. If I throw it to you in the post, are you just going to spin around endlessly with your post moves and get it swatted? Or are you going to throw it back to me for a three-pointer if I'm open? That's trust in basketball. We see it in every single sport.
This is why we've practiced trust falls.
Yes. Justin and I have done a lot of
floors.
Those. And darn it, did they go well. You're burlier than I expected. What happened there? So the idea of trust in an organization, and especially in leadership, incredibly important. He went on.
For someone like me, you know, it's just incumbent upon you to set the example every single day so that people that were, you know, talked about in those emails, that they don't need to feel that way. They shouldn't feel that way. And it's, you know, hopefully, you know, all of us can learn from this. It's about bringing people together for me so that people can become, you know, the people that they dream about. And I think that leading this football team and being someone, hopefully we can, you know, be a light for those people in those emails, that not everybody's like that, that there's far more people that will love you than the opposite.
It's great stuff. It's really good stuff.
It didn't feel forced, contrived. It didn't feel tired. It didn't feel defensive. In the wake of a gross moment, you need all of those things.
There are a few things I like about this. The first is this guy seems awesome, right? Like, I just really like Brandon Staley now. I didn't know anything about him. Every time I say his name, I have to, like, think for a moment to make sure I'm getting it right, because there's a lot of Brandons out there in this world and Brendans and Brandons. And then, like, I want to say Lane Staley.
I was gonna
every
say,
single
you
time.
Lane Staley on this?
Right. And so, like, I was like, wait, what is it? It's Brandon Staley. Get it right. But that's a couple of times I think he really has chosen his words well and been very impressive. But the second question is this. Why is this so hard in the NFL? Why does this stand out so much? Why is it so hard for players and coaches to come right out and call something out when it happens in the NFL? I think generally we've seen the exact opposite. Did you hear Derek Carr, quarterback of the Raiders, asked about this stuff yesterday? I don't think he got it right at all.
I don't condone that kind of talk. I don't talk that way. My kids sure as heck will never talk that way. It's hard because I love the man so much. You know what I mean? Like, I have family members that have done things. I've done things that I'm glad that I'm still loved. I think more than anything, coach needs people to help him, to love him. In whatever areas, you know, that we can. But at the same time, what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong.
I mean, that's just mincing words, isn't it?
The first part of it was started good.
Started great. And it kind of veers off. And, like, I'm not gonna judge Derek Carr forever based on how he handles this moment. It's just a miss for me. Like, that's an opportunity for him to hit it out of the park the way Brandon Staley did. And instead, he minces words. Well, what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. But he needs love. And, like, I don't know, Derek, stand for something.
No, the team needs a leader right now, and you're the quarterback of that team.
You have the opportunity to stand for something. What's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong, and I need to love them? Gee, thanks, man. And we've seen this for years in the NFL and other circles, right? I remember when Big Ben was accused of rape, and teammates and everyone in the league and everybody who had ever been around him went out of their way to praise his character and distance themselves from anything resembling a criticism of Big Ben. Well, I know his character. Like, do you? Well, I know the... What do you mean you know his character? His character failed him, if you think you know his character. But nobody wanted to come out and be the person to say, yeah, this is wrong. Just end it with what's wrong is wrong. And he did something wrong. And that's not okay. And this league needs to be about more than that. Nobody even would criticize Big Ben, even a little bit, let alone a full-throated condemnation, which would have been great. He got the benefit of the doubt from everybody associated with the league until everything had gone through, and then he was eventually allowed back in, of course. And to me, it's not that incident in and of itself is a problem. It's what it says about the league and about that culture in general. It's guys like Gruden and Allen. But it's also everybody who doesn't hold them accountable or rushes to defend them even without considering the facts. That's how a good old boys network works. That's what it means to be part of a good old boys network. right? It's not just like a bunch of guys sitting around with like deer heads on the wall in some godforsaken southern hunting lodge and like, you know, making sure how they're going to keep their friends get the contracts. It is that. That happens also. It's not just like, you know, your U.S. senator who was born from another U.S. senator who was born from another one, and they all know the people in the business. It's that, too. Don't get me wrong. There's a bunch of ways Good Old Boys Network works. But it's also this. It's protecting people rather than holding them accountable. And when accountability goes away entirely, then people become what? Entitled. And when they become entitled, it's easy for them to talk the way John Gruden did. But even more than that, because I'm not saying it's small potatoes, but I think what Bruce Allen did will end up or should end up being just as bad, if not worse. The entitlement and the fear and the lack of fear of any repercussion or anybody holding you accountable to anything, that's what leads Bruce Allen to send pictures of topless employees to John Gruden.
Yeah, and
an issue.
And I get why fans and people who watch football have a hard time grasping it right away, because you literally invited Gruden into your home every Monday night, right? Mm. You grew to like him. He was bad at first, and now he's your guy, and he's fun. He's on Corona commercials, and it's frustrating when you see and hear and read about things. You're like, that's not the guy I know. It's like, you didn't know him.
But didn't we learn this like in the early 90s? You know when I learned this? I can tell you specifically. I know exactly when this happened. It was when that white Bronco started driving down the freeway in L.A. And I remember thinking, come on, O.J. Simpson did not kill anybody.
Right.
That's ridiculous. We all love O.J. I can't believe they're going to crucify O.J. Oh, wait, I don't know this guy at all. Not the guy from the Delta commercials jumping over the people over the seats at the airport. Not the guy from the Naked Gun. Not Norberg. There's no way. Nobody would. That can't be Norberg.
And nobody wants to feel uncomfortable.
But it is.
It's true. I know. And it's,
you don't know Ben Roethlisberger. And then when his teammates decide they're going to just stand up for him on principle, it doesn't make any sense. Call out what's happening, because eventually that leads to the Bruce Allen's situation. That's, to me, the scary part. You know who talked really well about this yesterday? It was Bobby Wagner. Do you have a minute? Here's a little of Bobby speaking about this yesterday.
Like, that whole situation is a lot deeper than I think we can figure out during this press conference. But what I will say is, I think there are people out there like that, that speak that way, that have that mindset, that have not grown. It's not just football. It's not just NFL ownership or coaches or anything like that. There are more people that's like that. And whether it's naive, whether it's a lack of education, whatever the excuse or whatever the idea behind it may be, there are people out there like that.
Bobby essentially saying this isn't just a football problem. He's right. And it's a football problem. Does that make sense?
Yes.
He's right that it goes beyond football. Not but and it is a problem in football. And it's not just the racism or the sexism or the homophobia. Those are problems. But the other part lurking inside of it is the entitlement and the lack of accountability that has existed in the NFL culture for so long that it entitles guys like specifically Bruce Allen to send pictures of his employees topless.
It's not just the words. It's the actions. I don't know how to do it. And it's like sports. And I know you got to move on.
I have to.
The stick to sports attitude comes from this, right? But sports are also such a powerful tool to teach young men how to be leaders and to be accountable, be trustworthy, to be reliable.
Good text here. Entitlement leads to corruption. Power shields from accountability. Good stuff. 9:15, time for Need to Know.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Mike Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, we'll see what happens in the game on Sunday, but the injury report is awfully messy for the Seahawks. You know Russell Wilson is not going to play. He did not practice yesterday with a finger issue. Thankfully, the others who were not practicing seem to have a much better shot of getting out there. Still, disturbing to see both Bobby Wagner and Chris Carson miss practice yesterday. With Bobby, it's a knee bruise. With Chris Carson, it's still the neck. Carson's missed a couple of games now. Bobby, I think the expectation is that he will play, and same with Carson, but sure feel a lot better if they're able to get out there and practice today before the game on Sunday. And both are enormously important. With no Russell Wilson, the two things that you're hoping will step up on this team are the defense and the running game. How do you make Geno Smith's life easier going to Pittsburgh? Well, one, run the ball. And Chris Carson has been your best running back, so yeah, having him healthy would be important. Two, play good defense. Have your defense win you a game. Come up with a turnover. Keep the field short, right? No issues getting buried deep in your own zone. Absolutely. Two guys that could be incredibly helpful to a Geno Smith making his first start in forever are Bobby Wagner and Chris Carson, so hopefully they are both able to go this weekend.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Well, the Kraken had their day off. They were able to reflect, rest, watch film, hopefully not obsess too much over whether or not that goal was kicked in, and then eventually travel to Nashville. Kraken back on the ice tonight. They'll make their debut on Root Sports. So looking forward to hearing that or seeing that. Predators were led in scoring last year by Roman Yossi. Led in goals, however, by who? It's your boy Calido, Cali Yarncroak, who had 13 goals before being plucked away by the Kraken in the expansion draft this year. I'm curious to see who will get the start in net. Philip Grubauer was, I'd say, good, not great against Vegas. So given that this is supposedly a partnership between the two and also that they play against Saturday, Monday, Tuesday on this road trip, I'd expect Chris Drieger to start two of those games and then Grubauer to start when they have their debut at home. Really good opening night for hockey on ESPN and Turner. Incredibly successful. ESPN reporting huge gains in audience with their opening doubleheader, up 19% from the opening night tripleheader last year when they were on NBC. Also up in most demos, including 18-49, they were up 28%. So I know that's a lot of numbers, but what do you take out of that? Younger people came to watch it. ESPN put on a much bigger product and a bigger deal, and there was some more excitement over it than when they were on NBC. It's the biggest mistake the NHL ever made 17 years ago, going away from ESPN and taking the money to stay to go to NBC. It disappeared at that point from the national conversation, and now hopefully this is a good indication that they will be back in it. As for the Kraken, their game peaked at over 1 million viewers, second highest for a late-night opener on record. Those numbers do not include the streaming views on ESPN+. So really impressive opener for ESPN and for the NHL.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Baseball postseason has been great. Only one game left to finish up here, the divisional round. Dodgers, Giants, who had never met in the postseason before now, they want to get their money's worth out of it, so they're going to go to a deciding Game 5 tonight. Julio Urias against Logan Webb. Winner takes on the Braves in the NLCS. I think that starts Saturday. Red Sox, Astros will start the ALCS tomorrow night in Houston. NFL action before we get there. Bucks and Eagles this evening, Thursday Night Football. That means it's been a week since Russell was hurt. Crazy. We're already like a quarter of the way through him coming back. How about that? We're basically there. You ever see
Don't
that?
Jinx it.
You ever see that Seinfeld where he's like trying to show that it doesn't take that long? He's like, well, we're going to be there for 2 days, but you're going to be asleep half the time. And some of it is with meals. And by the time you're driving, it's like a half an hour. It's like 20 minutes, like a quick nap. Anyway, we're a quarter of the way there, hopefully. Let's see. Tonight, Tom Brady, 4-1. His team is rolling. They don't have Rob Gronkowski, though. He will be out again tonight. Jalen Hurts and the Eagles are 2-3. They had a good win, though, and good comeback win over the Panthers on Sunday. Three things you need to know.
I'm not going to try to get too far back into where we just were, but this is a good text from the 206. Definitely not defending Ben. I wonder how many teammates defended him because they know that athletes can be targets and were giving him the benefit of the doubt. And not knowing him.
Yeah,
but
I think
also in doing so, they're
that.
Outing themselves by protecting someone like that. In a weird way, it says more about you than it does about Ben.
Yeah, I think there is some truth to that text of waiting for the facts to come in and knowing that athletes can be targets. That's true.
Sure.
But there also just seems to be this automatic reflex to defend what an NFL player does. And I think hopefully that is starting to change. Hopefully, Ray Rice situation. Or what's his name, who was in Dallas?
Greg Hardy. UFC, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully some of those situations are starting to change that culture because there does seem to be an automatic instinct to not judge ever, to never judge. I think that's unfair. I think that it presupposes that because that person plays in the NFL, that they're less likely to have done something wrong. And I'm not saying that they're more likely to have done something wrong, But I don't know why they would be less likely, especially when we have case after case that shows the opposite.
Yeah, they're more likely to have been protected after doing something wrong. And it goes back to a lot of these players from college, too. I mean, a lot of them never even had to get passing grades. Mm. So you want to talk about entitlement to get to where they are. They expect a lot of things because of this.
Yeah, you and I see this one very similarly. Brock occasionally will take the other view on this because he's seen some of the opposite. He's seen guys, who worked hard and all of that to get to where they are. And B, he has seen guys who have been unfairly targeted from people looking for money or obsession or whatever the case may be. I know Brock himself has a restraining order against somebody. I mean, like, that's not, or had to a long time ago. That is not unusual. So there are two sides to this. I don't want to present this as heavy-handed one side over and over again. But I do think it's important to note that NFL players, coaches, and executives can be guilty. And when the league's instinct at all points is to suppress that and to entitle the people and to not have accountability for those that do things wrong, what do you end up with? You end up with Bruce Allen sending out pictures of topless employees to other people. By the way, those employees say that they never consented to the pictures to begin with. That is a slippery slope on its way down the entitlement waterfall, and that's a big problem. All right, the master of slippery slopes, though, is Brock Heward. He's the one who loves them on everything. Brock's all about slippery slopes. He is.
I was waiting for like a water slide reference or something else.
No, that's Brock's thing, man. Every time we debate anything, say, "Well, it's a slippery slope."
Okay, it's all about
the slippery slope. So let's talk to Brock. We will do it next. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Brock and Salk.
Brock Heward is my hero.
Every morning at 7:45 and 9:30.
Brought to you by Precor Home Fitness.
On the Mike Salk Show.
What Brock Heward says? No, he's not a friend.
Subscribe to receive new episodes of the Brock and Salk podcast at Apple Podcasts or on Google Podcasts.
See, Justin, this is why you should never, ever be transparent or honest on the radio.
Are we getting skewered for the pineapple on pizza thing?
No, your top five movies were the same as mine when I was 11.
Are you
not allowed to see R-rated movies?
It's a family show.
Clearly. Brock, how are you? We just learned a little bit about Justin, apparently.
Yeah.
People are not too impressed.
Was Justin hitting bombs yesterday?
No, nobody hit bombs. The only person who hit the ball well was Ryan Roland Smith. He hit the ball real well. Stelton hit the ball pretty well. Egan did okay. The few others, but no bombs.
No dingers, unfortunately.
Not a dinger by anybody in the media.
No.
I did take a ground ball off my wrist that still hurts pretty bad, so that's a good familiar sting.
Roland Smith hit one to the warning track. That was the longest ball I saw hit. But, I mean, that guy was just playing baseball like 2 years
ago. Stelton was pretty good.
Bob hit the ball pretty well. Bob took the day off to go over to T-Mobile yesterday to hit some balls, take batting practice. That's how special it is. Like, I'm not laughing at Bob.
Yes.
I totally get it, man. He missed it the last time there was an opportunity to do so. And he's like, I'm not missing it this time. That's a holy thing. I think there is something holy about a professional baseball field.
No question. And see, I was looking at a bunch of tweets and people, I think, all seconding that opinion from what you just said right there. Just loved it. Just absolutely loved the opportunity to get in there. That's pretty cool.
Well, because when I said it at 6 o'clock this morning, somebody accused me of actual sacrilege. So I'm glad to hear that you, the holiest person I know, or certainly the most pious, I'm glad to know that you were okay with the reference.
Sounds like people are fired up on that text toy, huh?
Well, people are mad about everything today. Yeah. You name it, people are mad. I don't know why. Maybe it's just not having Russ, people are just like their rock is not there. They're solid. The foundation on which their weeks are built at this time of year. What are we going to see from Geno Smith?
It's so crazy, right? I was looking at the video, and there's Russ at practice yesterday, right? The first day, he's in his parka, and then yesterday, he's out there. He's running through drills, you know, warm-ups anyway. And then you look at the injury list, Mike, and of all of the different injuries, right? The guy had, speaking of pineapple, a pineapple for an ankle injury. He had a sprained MCL, and he never missed a game. I don't even think he missed a practice. And you see that injury report that comes out yesterday, did not practice, finger. And you're like, finger? And then you're reminded, oh, that's right, finger, fractured finger, pins in it. Yeah, ruptured tendon, really bad deal. And it's going to be Geno Smith's world. And I'm getting to the point now of fascination. I know it's Thursday. Sunday's still a long ways away, but Tom Brady will be slinging it tonight, Thursday night football. And I'm honestly getting, and I think as we approach Sunday night and it's national television, it'll be Al, it'll be Chris, it'll be the whole crew. The Seahawks have been so doggone good on national television, largely because of Pete and Russ. They'll be there and it will be Geno. And honestly, Mike, my level went from like, oh, he's going to be terrible to, I'm fascinated to see, you know, like we talked about in our what ifs yesterday on our podcast. What if he's good? What if he's good? What if he gets the ball out? What if, like Bobby Wagner said to the press yesterday, hey, if you were a fly on the wall in this building, you would think this guy is absolutely a starter and has every right to be here and every right for this opportunity, and we're going to pick it up on our end, and they better. And what if Geno being in there just elevates the play of everybody else because they know he's not Russell Wilson?
Well, if that happens, I think it'll be shocking. I mean, like, first of all, I'm going to bet against it. Second of all, if it does happen, it will certainly raise questions, you're right, about why. I don't know. It's not going to tell me that Russ isn't good, because I have too much evidence to the contrary of that, right? I know that Russ is good. I don't need that proven.
Correct.
But it'll make you wonder about
on time.
Well, right. Okay, it'll make you wonder about Russ and the fit in this offense.
Yes. So I'm watching late last night. I've got Indiana, Michigan State this weekend. Indiana had a QB last year, Michael Penix. Incredible. Incredible season. Indiana had a historic season for them, beating Michigan, Penn State same year. Michael Penix, athletic dual threat lefty, a big part of it. But unfortunately for him, tears his knee at the end of last year. He's not the same guy this year. He separates his shoulder against Penn State, and the backup came in. And the backup was a highly thought of 4-star, started his career actually at the University of Utah, played last year, beat Wisconsin after Penix got hurt. And it was remarkable, Mike. I'm watching the tape, I'm saying out loud, like, to Penix, throw it, get rid of it, throw it. And you know, he's kind of holding it, he's waiting. And then the backup comes in, Tuttle, and it's like, ooh, balls out. Not thinking too much. Remember all of our conversation about Luke Falk and Mike Leach versus Gardner Minshew? And all of the study that's been done in the air raid system on you're actually better earlier because you're thinking less. And you're just reacting, and you're just getting the ball out, and you're the first guy that's open, you're throwing it, and you're not sitting there waiting for the bigger play. You're just playing within the confines of the system. And with Tyler and with DK and with the O-line and frankly with Geno's second half when he came in the game, It should be a confidence builder for all of them to play at a level that will be functional.
I appreciate that view. I don't think it's going to happen. There's a texter here who says, I'm oddly interested in watching Geno. Yeah, I am too. But I was also oddly interested in watching that poor wide receiver play quarterback for the Broncos last year, and then I saw what happened. Like I don't think that's going to be what happens with Geno, but I think it's easy to get excited of like, oh, I'm going to see something different. Oh, wait a minute. Yes. That's why I haven't seen it for the last decade.
And it's problematic for you because we've watched him in the preseason with twos and threes, and it's been bad.
Yeah.
It's been bad.
Yeah.
It's not been a pretty picture.
But you have more faith than I do. You can imagine what Geno Smith looks like with ones and twos instead of twos and threes. I don't know that I'm as good at doing that.
Yes, I would.
But he's also playing against ones and twos,
right?
It's not just that he gets Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. He's also got to play against some pretty good players, too.
Yep. And he's also, as I said, and this is the fascinating part, I would really hope he's going to get every teammate's very best. Instead of, well, Russell will compensate. Oh, the Wizards out there. You know what? He'll beat the Blitz. He'll spin out of it. He'll make an incredible play in San Francisco. Russell never loses two in a row. He'll will his way and in our way to a victory. That's gone, man. That is gone. And Bobby Wagner and Jamal Adams and Carlos Dunlap and everybody on that side of the ball defensively. Yeah. And Bobby, I'll take him at his word yesterday saying, yeah, it's time for us to take over. It's time for us to do our thing.
It is. Because they need to win two out of three, which means they need to split the next two games. If they got any shot at this thing still being possible when Russ comes back, you've got to split with Pittsburgh and New Orleans and then beat Jacksonville.
Yep.
Right? So I don't know whether Geno's capable of putting the team on his back and doing that. Hopefully he can just keep possession of the ball, and the defense is going to have to play better. Like, there's no other way to say it. They are going to have to be a big part of it. So
it's Thursday. Yeah. Okay, it's Thursday.
Step up time.
It is Thursday, so we're still a ways away. It's not Friday. We can maybe have the revisit this tomorrow. But pure fascination level for Geno, scale of 1 to 10. right now is what?
Him in particular or him seeing the particular. Offense with somebody other than Russ?
Well, whatever way you want to frame that.
Well, if I frame it the second way, it's high. If I frame it the first way, it's not. But my curiosity level is high, I would say, somewhere in that 8 range, because I want to, it's the control that we've never had for the experiment.
Yep.
What is it for all the questions about Russ and Pete and the offense and the play callers and
the O-line and the defense and the roster and yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. I would say my intrigue level is very high.
There you go. Brock Heward joins me every day 7:45 and at 9:30. Honestly, I think he and I would just do this anyway. Like if the show, if we weren't doing this part of the show, he and I would just call each other and chat for about 10 minutes and figure out what's going on every day. A couple of pieces of news here. Well, one in particular, I was wondering earlier who would be in net tonight for the Kraken. It seems like we have an answer, and I'll admit to being a little surprised. Philip Grubauer, first goalie off the ice, according to all the beat reporters who are in Nashville, so that usually means he will be the one to start. So that's
first goalie off the ice?
Yeah, so here's the thing. Little weird thing about hockey, they have what's called morning skate. So the day of a game, it's not a full practice, but it's called morning skate. And they come out to the rink that morning, and they have a skate. It's a little mini, it's like a walkthrough. It's similar to the walkthrough in football, but they go out there and they have a little mini practice. And generally, whichever goalie exits the ice from the morning skate first
starts that night.
He starts that night.
Okay.
So the fact that it's not 100% of the time, so you can get fooled by it, but generally, whoever comes off the ice first is the starter. So Philip Grubauer likely back in net for the Kraken tonight.
I like this text from the 509. I hope they put some good Loctite on the screws they got in Russell's finger.
Well, you don't want that thing coming out in the middle?
I want it to be red Loctite.
Well, I don't know what that is.
There are 4 colors of Loctite.
There are?
Yes, and they're different strengths.
Oh.
You know what
are those like
you know
the
what
bands
Loctite
that you
is,
use
right?
when you're doing physical therapy?
Come on. You know what Loctite is.
I don't have a clue.
It's
what
a little
is it?
Liquid. It's a thread lock. You put it on a screw.
Oh, a thread lock.
Thread
I need those so often in my life that, yes,
I'll get
forgotten.
You a collection of Loctite
Please,
for your birthday.
That would be very helpful. All right. Coming up next, it's the biggest piece of news across the country today, and it leads to a great version of Ranked. Don't go anywhere. This is a list you don't want to miss next. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dwarmfor's house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is Ranked.
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Brought to you by Carter Volkswagen. Every morning at 9:45 on the Mike Salk Show.
That top 10 list. I'm not buying that.
Ranked.
Well, every day we rank things to finish up this show. Well, every day except when Pete Carroll's here. Most days.
Yeah, that's right. Hasselbeck does do his own, and that's very good.
He's good at it. He spends a lot of time. I spent some time thinking about today's Ranked, and I feel very definitive in what we've got. So, big piece of news yesterday was unmanned flight to space, right? You had...
You say unmanned?
Well, it was unmanned. It wasn't being...
Oh, yeah, piloted. Gotcha. Yeah,
unpiloted,
yeah.
I guess you should say. But William Shatner went to space with Jeff Bezos?
No, Jeff did not go, but it was Blue Origin. So it was under Bezos' umbrella, I guess.
Under his flag.
Yes.
Under the Amazon flag.
That's what you want to call what that rocket is.
Sure. All right. So William Shatner, after years of pretending to be in space, actually went to space. He seemed to be pretty impressed.
Did you see the moment being stolen from him?
by Bezos?
Yes. Shatner's trying to talk about how profound it was and how much it meant to him. He's a 90-year-old man. He played Captain Kirk, right? And then Bezos goes, oh, hand me a champagne, and just interrupts him mid-speech and just starts spraying champagne. And Shatner just scratches his head and does the no thanks.
Were we talking at all today about entitlement and what happens
oh,
when there's
man.
No accountability whatsoever for anything you do?
Space cowboy himself.
Just I don't know why that floated back into my mind, but I guess it did. So with that in mind, I have a very important list for you. These are the 8 planets other than Earth ranked.
Can't be a homer.
Well, we live on Earth, so obviously, it's unique. That's where we live. That's home. So I'm not going to put Earth into the rankings.
Okay.
8 other planets ranked. Usually we only do 5, but I'm willing to go all the way to 8 today.
Okay.
Because I think this is that important. You want me to go in reverse order?
Yes, it's that important. You decide.
Number 8. I'm going to go 1 through 8. I think it's better that way. Okay. The number one planet should be obvious to everybody. You can text it in 206-421-3776, but I would expect to just get the same planet over and over again. This should be the most, this is like hating the Yankees. This is like rooting against the house in Vegas.
All right, let's prove it. Let's on 3, let's say our worst planet. DJ,
no,
you ready?
The best planet.
Oh, we're the best planet.
We're starting with number 1. By far the best. This should be the easiest thing of all
then
time.
Then we should all say the same thing.
1, 2, 3, Jupiter.
Mars.
Oh my gosh. Mars? Are you insane?
Way more interesting to me than Jupiter.
Jupiter,
but okay,
is by far, it's the biggest planet. It's one, I love Jupiter.
The big red spot or the great red spot?
Yeah, you got the moon circling Jupiter. Yeah, Jupiter is awesome. It's beautiful. It's cool looking. It's by far the biggest. I mean, like, it's okay, sort of like horrifying to think about how big Jupiter really is. So, oh yeah, Jupiter's the most impressive.
Okay.
Number 2, and this may be controversial, but I'll say Pluto. I know there are folks who are still going to argue that Pluto's not a planet, and that it's a dwarf planet, this and that, but I think that's what makes it so special. The fact that there's this debate over it rises above some of the other close calls and would put it, I would say, number 2 in my all-time planet.
The land of ice.
Yes. Number 3 on my list, I'm going all the way to the other side of the solar system, Mercury.
To the other side solar system.
Yeah, I mean, Pluto's as far out as it gets. Mercury's as close to the middle as it gets, right next to the sun. Okay. I've always just been impressed with Mercury. The fact that it can stay that close to the sun without burning up is remarkable to me.
Going back,
how does
to
it
the,
even exist?
The shower thoughts of Mike Salk. It was the things you spend your time thinking about.
Yeah.
Being impressed by Mercury is one of them.
Mercury's impressive. It's like gritty. It's not that big, but it's found a way. I mean, it's mostly just made up of gas.
Yeah, it's basically the size of Earth's moon, if
it's
I remember
it. It's
not
that different from Wendell, my dog. They're both just made up of gas. Same thing. It's a French bulldog. That's what they do.
It's the smallest planet.
All right, number 4, Saturn. The moons. I mean, the rings. The rings. The rings are pretty sweet. And Saturn's like big enough to really pull it off. Right? So I like what you get with
Saturn. To pull off the rings.
Yes. Well, we'll get to Uranus later. Saturn pulls it off. It's like the original ringed planet. It's big enough. It's got some heft to it.
This is an absurd list.
It's close
to
Jupiter.
Could Earth pull it off?
Could Earth pull off rings? Were you crazy? No. No.
Come on.
Earth has other skills,
DJ,
but it doesn't need rings. It does other things well. Venus is number 5. It's kind of neither here nor there. It's close to Earth, which is nice. With all the talk about going to Mars, there's never any talk about going to Venus. So I feel like it's underrated. But nearby.
It's the hottest. See, there's no way you could go.
Well, it's not as hot as Mercury. What do you mean it's the hottest?
It's the hottest planet in the solar system.
How is it hotter than Mercury? Mercury's next to the sun.
I don't know. All I know is that Venus is the hottest.
Stop messing with my list.
I'm just messing it all up now.
Stop messing with my list.
You're challenging Salk's ranking of the planets from childhood, apparently.
No, it's from right now. Number 6 is Mars. Good, not great. It's cool that they're sending things there, but like, I'm not moving there.
It's Palm Springs.
Yeah, if you're trying to get me to go to Mars, it's not going to happen. I've seen the original of what's the Schwarzenegger movie? Total Recall.
Total Recall.
Like, I don't know how many times.
Have you seen
Two
The Martian?
Weeks. No.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Eh.
Oh, it is fantastic. It's a
is
great
it
book.
Better than the original Total Recall?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know about that.
There you go.
With Benny? Benny's not in. He's got 5 kids
I'm
to
surprised
feed.
That this list isn't based on the planets you most likely want to golf on someday.
Oh.
Mars would be very high on that list.
Well, obviously, the smaller the planet, the longer the the less gravity you'd have. So, I mean, I think what you want to do then is go to Mercury, right? Isn't that the smallest planet?
Mercury is the...
Or is Pluto the smallest
planet? Yeah, I didn't know. Mercury is. Mercury's the smallest.
All right. So, yeah, I want to golf there.
Okay.
Smallest amount of gravity.
Okay.
All right. Number 7 on this list, I already said why. Uranus also has rings but doesn't pull it off with the same kind of aplomb. It's kind of... It's kind of like the poser of ringed planets. Like, it's trying to be like Saturn, but it's not cool enough to do it.
I really didn't know that it had rings.
Yeah, they're not as good. That's
okay.
Why.
Okay.
And then number 8, worst planet is by far Neptune. And the thing here is that Neptune wants to be the farthest away. It's looking for something to set it apart from all the other planets, but it's not as cool as Jupiter. And so I've always believed it's the Neptune lobby that was behind getting Pluto thrown out as a planet. I think there's some evil in Neptune, and I've never quite been comfortable
planet
with
collusion. We got to get him out of the club.
So there you go.
That is an absurd rank.
Those are the planets ranked. Jupiter number 1.
Thanks,
I would
Shatner.
Assume everybody agrees. Interesting that Venus is the hottest. Maybe that I may have to consider that then. I didn't realize that because of the greenhouse gases. All
See?
Right. I'll think about that.
This is the best radio I've ever heard.
Salk, you're a turd. How is Saturn not number three? All right. Saturn? Good planet. It's fourth. I mean, I was pretty close. There's no reason to get so angry.
Oh, I was waiting
this.
For the stick to sports. There it is. All right. Thanks, 253.
The center, not the other side. Well, it's the other side on a map. Usually, this is the way the Draw map works. All right.
Oh, boy.
Well, there's a chance we can send people to Venus. Mars the only option. All right, fine.
I think we peaked.
Yeah, this is probably the best this is ever going to do. I'm glad that's over. All right. Yeah, and also people calling it Uranus, no thank you.
Blame Shatner for this.
Yeah, it's all Shatner's fault, as most things
and
are.
And Bezos.
Thank God Jake and Stacey are up next. They will rescue you from the disaster of the last few minutes. We'll be back tomorrow morning, though. We'll Friday show. G. Scott will be on the show. We'll get you guys ready for... Seahawk football, for Geno football. We'll do it tomorrow starting at 6. See you, everybody.